I was telling you this before, though. I do have a, I got a connection into the golf club making world. I haven't told, I don't think I've told any, like, I haven't said it on the pod yet.
You said it on your radio last week.
Ryan.
No, I said it on there, but not here.
Buying clubs off DHgate is not having a club making collection.
No, he's club making connection.
Okay.
And then, like, we don't know if it's truly a connection. You just have the same last name.
It's got, I mean, it is somewhere. It's got to be down the line somewhere.
So you're telling me there's some Irish guy named Sheely who's making clubs or what?
There was.
I'm not a big reader, but I like a good easy read. And I just got done reading, it's called Afternoons with Mr. Hogan.
Okay.
And it's a book that was written.
Hulk Hogan.
It's a book that was written from the perspective of the kid who used to shag balls at Ben Hogan's like country club or whatever that he used to practice at. And the guy who used to design and make Ben Hogan's like personal golf clubs, which he was very, very picky about, his name was Gene Sheely, and it's spelt the exact same.
Hmm.
And I looked him up. He was from Illinois. He's now passed away. But he was Ben Hogan's primary club designer and maker. So I'm reading this book. I have no idea. I'm just, as I'm going along, I get to page 43. And yes, I remember the page because I've been showing my family members. I get to page 43. I'm like, holy shit.
How badly do you want to be related to this guy?
So badly. Because if things end up going south, like at my here, which I mean, I don't anticipate that they will.
You think you just have some genetic talent deep hidden within you that hasn't been unlocked to create clubs?
No, I don't think I have any club making ability in my genes, but whether I'm related or not, which I think, you know, is seven degrees, right?
Yeah. Okay.
That's Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. That's Kevin Bacon.
Anyway,
keep going.
Somewhere in there, there's a club maker down the line. So I don't know. You believe it if you want. If you want, I'm gonna believe it because again, reading this random book and there it pops up. You got him pulled up, Jake.
I don't have the book.
G-E-N-E.
But I have stumbled upon a plethora of information for you to look through, Ryan. I found a thread.
I've already looked through it.
Do you know about Chris Sheely commenting just this February 13th? Who is Gene's grandson?
I did. Read it to me again, though. it's on Reddit, isn't it?
No, it's not. Okay. It's on forums, golfwrx.com. Someone said, I found this in a bag with a lot of Pyrotone and or painted shaft clubs. And it's a wedge that says Gene Sheely Classic on the bottom of it. The first reply is, hello, my name is Chris Sheely. Mm-hmm. Gene was my grandfather. He made that club. And yes, I have just one. I have one just like it. The one that I have was his personal club. He was Ben Hogan's personal and head club designer. I just sold a putter on the golf auction. It was an old prototype and it brought $3,600.
Let's go.
Cool to see someone still has his clubs.
Fuck that Gene didn't leave you anything.
I know. He didn't leave anything for me.
What a dick, dude.
And I don't know. I think Gene passed away a few years ago. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what
year.
Just kidding,
Gene. You're probably a good guy. R.I.P.
Just kind of wild. I mean, you don't see my last name really anywhere. So kind of cool to see.
I thought your last name was T-shirt guy.
Oh, well, yeah, middle name
cat's out of the bag.
Middle name the yeah. Anyway, that's a huge side note. It's the biggest week of the year, right?
Yeah, it's Masters week. Welcome back to episode what, Jake?
184.
They pipe that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.
184. We are presented by Nicolet Law, and they're the masters of lawyering.
Boom.
Yeah. So everyone at Augusta this weekend, if you you take a ball to the dome, maybe trip on some cobblestones, maybe you walk into an azalea patch and you have an allergic reaction,
yeah,
call Nicolet. They might be able to get you some money out of it.
Maybe you get assaulted for slow play.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe
hey, Patrick Cantlay, if you're listening and somebody attacks you for slow play, call Russell. And see if he can help you out.
Maybe somebody punches you over the last pimento cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to run out, are they?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we learned on You Bet Your Radio, there's no cheese shortage right now. The government has a $1.4 billion surplus of cheese 100 feet under the ground in Missouri.
Yeah, they keep it in what they call the cheese cave.
Yeah, but that's government cheese. Everyone knows government cheese.
But I know the government, like a lot of those guys, I'm sure, golfers, right? So yeah. I'm assuming like if
well, a lot of holidays. If push came a lot of federal holidays yeah, off.
Push yeah. came to shove. And pimento cheese was out at the Masters. I'm sure they'd step in. You know, they, you know, yeah, yep. I mean, they've given a lot more to, you know, other places. So I think they could give some pimento cheese to the Masters and be okay with it.
Is there pimento in there? I envisioned a question, giant thousands and thousands of blocks of cheddar cheese.
Well, I think it's American cheese. I think that's what it was.
Where are you going to get some emergency tomatoes?
I don't know. But yeah. Again, if they do run out of pimento cheese sandwiches and you do get assaulted, Nicolay Law, he's your guy.
NicolayLaw.com.
It's also just, it's kind of cool just to have a, like you have a guy,
mm-hmm.
You got a lawyer.
Battery's over, Ryan. Let's talk about the Masters.
Go ahead. Kick us off.
Just kidding. Go to NicolayLaw.com. Sorry, Ryan. I know that was rude. That was very rude of me. The Masters has me fired up, though.
I know. It is like, first of all, every year the Masters, I feel like I just get dropped into the Masters because there's so many other sporting things going on around at the time.
It is very busy right now in the sports world.
Yeah. And so I feel like I get dropped into it. And so when... like my attention is in so many different places. And then when like it's actually time for the Masters, I'm dialed in for yeah. 5 days or
whatever. Yeah, it's like you're looking forward to it from like January on. You're like, all right, Masters is right around the corner. And then you get distracted by March Madness. And then
NFL draft.
Yeah, the draft is coming up. You get distracted. Like, oh shit, the Masters is here now.
You guys haven't even touched on one of the most important sporting events this weekend. It's UFC 300.
Oh my God.
This is a massive weekend for me, you guys. Not only did we have, we had March Madness final Monday. We have
also shouts to Jake winning the office bracket pool.
Nice.
Not to brag.
Yep.
I won both of my bracket challenges, actually. Wow. And there were two completely different brackets.
Guess who's buying lunch today?
Not me.
So we had March Madness final. We have, I mean, today being Wednesday, sorry, the pods, it didn't come out this morning, but
yeah, we're blaming Trevor.
We have par three competition today.
Mm-hmm.
We have the start first round tomorrow, Friday, second round, Saturday, UFC 300. The cut's been made at the Masters. Don't know what it'll be yet. I hope Tiger makes the cut.
That would be very cool.
And then, golf courses are opening. April is a fantastic month if you think about it. School's coming to a close for those still in school.
Mm-hmm.
And then golf courses are opening. Plus all the sporting opening day, 2 weeks ago?
Yep. WrestleMania this weekend.
It's a wild time in sports right now.
I think this is
the NFL
like,
draft next week.
Yeah. March Madness like starts the sports are back. Because there's no worse time in sports than after the Super Bowl to the beginning of March Madness. Mm-hmm. I think that is the driest time in all of sports.
Sure.
And now we're fully back because we'll have shit for the rest of the year now. We've got all the majors are coming up. The NBA finals are coming up. Baseball is going to start actually mattering a little bit because I know, Jake, you love it now, but the beginning of baseball season blows. None of the games matter.
The middle of baseball season blows because
everything blows about baseball till October.
162 games is insane.
Oh, my God.
The NBA has to fucking hate April.
Yeah,
because not only are people just not watching the NBA anymore, but you have all of this other stuff going on where no one's talking about the NBA.
And it's also like the time that the NBA wants people to be talking about it. It's the end of the regular season.
Yeah, we got the play-in tournament.
Do you think that's kind of why they did that weird mid-season tournament?
No, I think it's because the NBA also struggled with the whole MLB thing of too many games. There's 82 mm-hmm. NBA games. And so, like, again, the beginning of the season just doesn't really matter for a lot of people.
That's 80 less games than baseball.
No, I know, but 80 is still a lot. And I think people just didn't care, especially right at the beginning of the season. And that's why they did the in-season tournament week one, because also no one cared about NBA opening day either, you know?
Yeah, baseball is a lot less. Well, I shouldn't say there's like it like evens itself out with the amount of games, and the amount of travel that go into an MLB season. But just like the game itself is so much less demanding than basketball.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I know some of the most unathletic, and this is at the college level, but the most unathletic people who played college baseball and were successful at it, or the most out of shape people playing college baseball that were successful at it.
Yeah.
These guys are boozing 2-3 days a week.
Babe Ruth is drinking in the dugout.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. My argument about why they had the in-season tournament was just that fans didn't care. Like, people weren't watching the first week. Yeah. So they had to add something so that people cared about right away.
Yep.
People will always care about baseball opening day. They've got like the best week one thing, I think.
Yeah. So, but we're not here to talk NBA or MLB, which we just did. We're not here to talk about
that. No, we're not.
Biggest news. What do you guys think is the biggest news leading up into the Masters?
Tiger, hands down.
So there's always like the one storyline, right? And I think the storyline this year leading up into the Masters is Tiger playing and also Tiger keeping it in his pants.
Yeah, homie's not fucking.
Which I also believe Mike Tyson was on that train as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a weird thing. How did this come out? Like, did he announce it in an interview? He's like, hey, I'm abstaining from sex.
So I want
ahead of the Masters.
In one of the articles I read, it was like a friend of his that had said something, or like a friend of a friend had heard this that Tiger told his buddy.
Okay.
So it's all like, but I also thought I saw that Tiger confirm, like, you know, yeah, this is kind of a weird thing to talk about, but like, yeah, this is what's happening. I don't know if it's true or not, but
I mean, it's Tiger Woods. He obviously loves to bang. Like, it's in his history.
Yeah, he literally, there's a stack of NDAs like right inside of his front door as you walk in.
Yeah.
Like, you walk in, you sign the NDA, whether anything happens or not, like, the NDA is signed.
So I believe that this is a thing for him, because we do know that Tiger be fucking.
For sure.
For sure, dude.
But this is also a great excuse for somebody that isn't fucking. Be like, yeah, dude, I'm abstaining from sex. I got an intramural basketball game on Friday, and I gotta be tip top for it.
Yeah, like a 39-year-old virgin. Yeah. Let's go 40-year-old virgin. He's like, yeah, I'm in like three different softball leagues. So that puts me at like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it's like, I don't wanna, I need all the testosterone I can get. So I've abstained for the last 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. How else am I supposed to perform if I got that going on my mind? I can't do a 3-degree incline on the treadmill for 15 minutes.
Yeah, you expect me to hit bombs with no testosterone in my body?
Yeah. This is like the natural evolution of the kid that's like, yeah, I have a girlfriend at a different school. And you just don't know her. Yeah, I'm not having sex because I got to stay tip top for sports.
Yeah, my boys are really counting on me this week. You know, it's like, Rec D league, fucking elite eight.
You'll find
whatever.
It.
Yeah,
you'll get there.
I don't know if I will get there, because it seems like every single team who plays slow pitch softball wins a state championship. Every single team wins a state championship.
Yep.
Because there's A to Z. There's A to Z leagues. And if you win League Z, you move to League Y and you continually move up. Whatever. I don't know. Yeah. It's all fucked up.
But like, Tiger's the only person not the only person, but one of the few people in golf that could say this. And I don't immediately think, yeah, you're just not getting laid.
Correct.
Like, if Bubba Watson was like, yeah, I'm abstaining from sex ahead of the Masters so I can perform better, I'm like, dude, your wife's just not putting out.
Or it's like Tom.
That's your excuse.
Or like Tom Kim, who's 20 years old.
Yeah.
It's like, he didn't have a normal childhood, or not childhood, but like his teenage years. Like high school, college, whatever, he just went like straight to pro golf.
Yeah.
And he just kind of skipped that part of his life.
Yeah.
So he may not even know how to talk to girls. I don't know. Maybe he's not even into girls. I don't know that either.
No, he definitely is. He's definitely thinking about
it. Remember
in
Full Swing
when he's got when the camera guy's like, yeah. Yeah, he's looking into the camera. Any girls watching the show? My Instagram is Tom Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Tom's abstaining for the Masters right now. So yeah. Abstinence.
I feel like if Tom Kim has a lady over, I think you probably, and this goes both ways too, but you got to check the recent the Google history. Because if Tom Kim net worth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You ever heard those stories? Aaron Gordon, NBA player, like he saw some... a girl he was going out with, like, accidentally had it pulled up on her phone. It was like Aaron Gordon net worth. And he saw it. It's like, oh my God.
I'm so glad we don't have to worry about that. If my wife Googled my net worth, she'd leave me.
There just wouldn't be, there would be no hits on it. So it'd be like,
negative. Okay,
well. It'd be like Tom Kim. It'd be like Tom Kim, like tournament finishes. Do you like that? See how much money he's got liquid right now.
Yeah. Season earnings.
Ooh, missed the cut last weekend. Yeah. Can we reschedule for after the Masters?
Yeah. He could finish 40th in one tournament and make the yearly salary of like the average American.
Yep. Yeah.
In four days.
Yeah. Tom Kim's doing well with money. We don't got to worry about Tommy boy.
He'll be a guy that I would like to see in the Masters eventually, because he's not in it. Obviously, it's a, right.
He is.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Because I think like last year, his finish at the Open like automatically qualified him for the Masters this upcoming year.
Mm, okay.
So are there any big names? I think there's one big name. I don't remember who that isn't playing. Is it like Taylor Gooch or something?
Oh, he's on live. He's on live. I don't know if he probably didn't qualify.
Who is the guy that got the invite sent to the wrong place last year? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't remember that though. But some dude was like, "Hey, this showed up in my mailbox, right?"
Yeah, it was. He had the exact same name, and they sent it to the wrong so and so.
Yeah,
and then he graciously was like, "Hey, I have your invite to the Masters. Do you want it?" Because the dude was just sitting and waiting for it, and it didn't come.
Yeah, and I think that like the guy who received it, like he got treated pretty well.
Yeah, he got a ticket. Yep.
Do you guys ever think like how odd it is that the most prestigious tournament of all time, the only major that is played at the same course every year is in Augusta, Georgia?
I mean, the European Open, isn't that always played at St. Andrews? I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. I don't know. I thought that though.
Yeah, the British Open, yeah, is always at St. Andrews too.
I thought I just read yesterday that it's the only major that is played has been played at the same course every year.
Yeah, I'm just saying
I could be wrong about a lot of stuff, but we'll keep going with it.
I could also be wrong too. That's just what my thought was.
Has the Open always been
played? It might bounce around like the U.S. Open. That would make sense. Like bounce around.
The Open definitely hasn't since I've been paying attention. It's always been at St. Andrews.
I'm getting the answer right now. It looks. Yeah, it's at the old course in St. Andrews, but they could have done like one year where it was at a different course.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
What's the population of Augusta, Georgia?
Probably more than 200,000. So actually about the same size as Fargo.
Okay. So it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's only played at St. Andrews once every 5 years.
Oh, what the hell?
Where is it played at? No.
Yeah, every 5 years they play it at St. Andrews, and then it moves around like the U.S. Open.
So where was the Open played 2 years ago?
List of the Open Championship venues. The first one was at Prestwick, and let's just give me...
Because it wasn't 5 years ago that Cam Smith won the Open and then went to live. That was like...
2021, it was at Royal St. George's. 2022, it was at...
2019 was Royal Portrush. 2017, okay. Royal Birkdale. 2018, Carnoustie Golf Links.
Okay. I was kind of on board with either.
Yeah, this last year it was at the Royal Liverpool Golf Club.
In
2023. So I was completely wrong. 2022 was at St. Andrews. And then 23, it was at the Royal Liverpool Golf Club. So I'm just dumb. So you were 100%. You were right. 100%.
You are. Thank God.
I mean, again, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So yeah, I also thought the population of Augusta was a lot less than 200,000. But I mean, still, with that being said, it seems like an odd location.
Oh, for sure.
But you could say that about any location at the same time.
It would be like, imagine if the biggest golf tournament in the world was in Fargo.
Correct.
It's so weird. Similar populations.
Yeah.
And it's just, this is a random dot on the map.
Yeah. And so I was reading some Masters history yesterday, and it all, like, the prestigiousness of the Masters came from the guys who designed it. Mm-hmm. I believe the guy's name was Bobby Jones. And then it was Bobby Jones and one other guy, and whatever they did with the course or whatever, like, helped it be as prestigious as it is today. So I mean, if you look at it also, I got a direct message a couple days ago from a greenskeeper who has a friend that works as a greenskeeper at Augusta. And he also gave us some great clarification, which I'll get to. But what happens when these professionals hit divots on the course, their grounds crew goes and picks all of those divots up and they replace the divots with sand that is green. So that's why everything looks immaculately green. And it's not like they're growing grass overnight, but that's why the course from Thursday to Sunday
doesn't look any different on TV.
It'll look it just looks pristine.
That also sucks because there's no chance for you to steal a divot.
Correct. Unless you get it before, they pick them up when the round's over.
So they're not just out there getting ready to pick them up.
Okay. Yep. So if you get lucky, you guys have seen that the photo online where the guy has a divot, he kept a divot from Augusta and put it in a flower pot and started to just grow the grass from the divot. That is badass, if you ask me.
Well, yeah,
I think that's cooler than any piece of merchandise from the Masters. For sure.
Yeah.
If you get a little tiny, like a merchandise shop, little Masters flag, plop that down in the middle. What a cool piece of history. Or
you keep growing that divot. If you can get that divot to grow, you got your own little, you have your own little fairway out there.
Masters hitting. No, yeah. I would never hit on it.
No, fuck no. It's like you use it as your Zen garden.
Yeah.
Or you just replace your entire yard with it. Eventually, just it'll spread.
And that'd be sick. You can have,
It wouldn't be able to handle our winters.
Or you start, unless you bring it inside.
You have a greenhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, if you grow the patch big enough, you could essentially sell that to people as
secondhand Augusta grass.
Yes. And if you know the player who hit it too, would be even cooler. It's like, hey, this is a fairway divot from Brooks Koepka on hole number 9 or whatever.
Imagine trying to get that authenticated with Beckett. Mm-hmm. You'd have to find security footage of you picking up said divot and they'd have to analyze the size and shape. I mean, you could film it on your phone. It's like, hey, here's a continuous shot of me picking up this divot.
You couldn't, though, because
phones
are not allowed at the Masters.
You could just take the broadcast footage.
But they cut away way too fast. They're not going to leave it on a divot and see you pick it up.
Now, you can have cameras, correct? You can have
small digital cameras. Okay. Yeah.
So, you could let it roll on the camera. There's just so many
we got to get to the tournament first. There's so many moving parts. We should do a heist movie about a divot theft at Augusta.
That place has got to be on such lockdown, especially in the months leading up to the tournament as well as during the tournament. You're never going to get a waste management situation.
No.
But you're also never going to get the riffraff type of fans in there that other tournaments may get because, number one, how hard it is, and number two, how hard it is to get a ticket, number two, just the security around there. Because let's say someone fucking trashed a phone booth there. I mean, that phone booth is probably worth hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million.
So I put together some fun facts for this episode about the Masters and some of them that didn't get in. But there's a lot of history there, obviously. But most of the stuff is from the 1800s.
Yeah.
Of the foliage, the trees, I can't remember. What's the name of the lane where you drive in?
Is Azalea Drive, right?
No, there's the name of the lane where you drive in.
Oh, Magnolia Lane.
Magnolia. Yeah. Those trees were planted in 1855.
Holy shit.
And the giant oak tree on the course was planted in 1850. And the water fountains are from 1935. The tournament started in the 1930s. But the course was in the 1850s. And then the designers changed the course up in the 1930s. And I just learned a shitload about the Masters doing this research to get some fun facts for today.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cool shit there, way more than I ever truly understood. I always knew it's the most historic tournament in the United States. It's one of the coolest things in all of sports. There's a shitload of history, but I just never realized how much, all the way down to the water fountains. like every water fountain is dedicated to a legend. Like there's a Jack water fountain. There's an Arnold Palmer water fountain. There's just all the bridges are named after somebody either hitting a really cool shot or having like a really cool couple holes or a cool tournament. Like everything at the Masters has a reason and it's historical. So like Ike, Dwight D. Eisenhower has a pond and it's named after him because he's the only president that was ever a member. And there's only like three PGA members that have ever been members at Augusta. And it's like Jack, Arnold Palmer and Gary Player or something like that.
Holy shit.
So it's like every single thing there has a purpose and a reason. And I think that's sweet. So there's no random water fountain even. It's just, hey, that's the Jack Nicklaus water fountain.
Yeah. And with all that being said, if I were to get tickets to the Masters, it would be hard to even just sit there and watch golf because we're all big history guys. I would just be like going from water fountain to water fountain and like
yeah, there's plaques everywhere too. So you're just sitting there reading plaques and missing all the shots.
Yeah.
And essentially like with all the trees and everything, once you get into the course, you go down Magnolia Lane, you get in like inside the course. It's essentially its own little like bubble, right? Yeah. It's like it's closed in to where like no other of the outside world. There's no houses on the course. Is that correct?
There are five cabins that are rented out to members. Basically just rented out to members and like club executives and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have like expensive condos lining one hole or big houses on other holes. Like you are in your own little sphere.
There's also one other place to stay, but it's one of my fun facts. So
I'll save it. Now I shouldn't be telling you guys this because I know there are some people who were not in the know like I was a couple days ago. I need to better my odds of getting tickets. This isn't going to help, but the lottery application start date is June 1st. So for 2025 Masters tickets, if you want to get your application in to have a chance to get tickets, it's June 1st. You got to get in, fill the application out, send it in. You don't pay anything when you send the application in. You just have to pay for the tickets if you get selected. So it's on my calendar. My sister's
getting married that day in Montana. So I'm gonna need you to submit for me.
Well, I'll just submit for my. I don't know how many tickets you're able to buy if you submit.
I think two. Because that's what Lucas said, like, because him and his dad went.
Sure.
No, he went with him and his dad and his grandpa, didn't he?
I can't remember.
Me either. Anyway, doesn't matter.
So June 1st is the lottery application day. I never knew what the exact date was before a couple days ago.
Yeah, now we know. That's good. So if all of our listeners, like, if you don't have any interest in going to the Masters, why don't you guys just fucking sign up for us? Just get our name in the hat a few more times.
Yeah.
I mean, only if you want to, though. You don't have to. But like, if you don't ever want to go to the Masters, maybe just fucking write our names down.
Or even if you're not into golf, which I don't know why you'd be listening to this if you weren't, do it anyway. Because you don't.
Fans of Jake.
I don't think you understand, like, how prestigious this entire event is.
Yeah, like I've always kind of thought the Masters had this snobby, pretentious air around it. I'm going to be completely honest. And I preferred the Open and the Ryder Cup to it. But just my research this morning made me respect it a whole hell of a lot more. And I already respected it. I thought it was a super cool tournament.
Yeah.
But I thought it just kind of had this air of like, why are you better than everyone else? And I get it now. Like all of the cool history around the course it's really, really neat.
Yeah, because a lot of the surface level stuff is like makes golfers look like Disney adults when they talk about it.
Yep.
You know, they're like
100%.
Yeah, because like we've done it before. We're like, yeah, and then they pump in nature sounds and they paint the grass green. It's like you just sound like someone who just went to fucking Space Mountain. You know what I mean?
Right.
And yeah, but it's all legit. Like it's all like it's a part of it. Also, I just went to Google Maps and I just pulled up Augusta National just because I wanted to see where it was at. You zoom out, they must have taken these photos during springtime, like the aerial photos. Augusta is a green, bright green dot in the middle of like gray and brown.
Imagine seeing that from space.
Yeah, dude.
That'd be sweet.
Like you can zoom out, see the entire town of Augusta proper, and still be able to find where Augusta is.
That's cool.
Huh. When it comes to Augusta National, like outside of the Masters, let's say in like June, right? Masters is over by 2 months, and there's a long time until the next tournament is coming up.
Yeah.
How similar do you guys think just playing golf at Augusta is compared to, like, let's compare it to, I don't know, the nicest public course in Fargo? Like, I mean, are there bev carts going at Augusta?
Not a chance.
Like, okay, so how similar and how different is it just going there to play golf than it is at, like, a really, really nice public course or even a nice private course?
I mean, I think it's going to be a world of difference. It's going to be like golfing in a museum. Like, I'm going to be afraid to touch anything. I might just punch shot. If I ever get to play Augusta, which I highly doubt I ever will, I'm punch shotting everything because I don't want to fuck something up. I mean, it's going to feel like walking on eggshells the whole time, and I'm going to be more
even for members who
probably not, but for like us, I think just a world of difference. We could play at, I don't know, the nicest course in the Midwest, even if it's private, and it'll just be a different vibe, I think.
Yeah.
And we're also going to shoot 130.
For sure.
Because we'll four putt on every single one of those greens.
Yeah. We do still have time, but I do want to see if we can go, what is it? Is the challenge 18 under, birdie on every hole at Augusta on the simulator? Like, how many shots would it take?
Yep.
You get unlimited drops. You have to birdie every single hole. Or is it like
13 under? It might be nine under.
And
you get
under
4 hours or something.
Yeah.
Unlimited mulligans. You have to shoot 9 under at Augusta.
So I did play on GS Pro on the sim. I think they call it
Georgia National.
Georgia National
is the name of the knockoff.
Yep. The knockoff Augusta. Yep. And I want to say I shot 83 with 10 foot gimmies. So it's 11 over par. It's tough. It's tight. The greens, they're not going to treat you well.
Yeah.
Even on the sim.
Well, I think to be accurate on the simulator, we would have to do, we for sure don't have to hole it, but we could do like 2 foot gimmies. So at least you're getting close every time.
Sure.
Cause like 10 foot gimmies, it's absolutely not a guarantee that we make a 10 foot putt.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But like,
not.
We can pretty confidently give ourselves a foot or 2 foot gimmies, just to speed it up. And I still don't think we get it done.
I don't know.
I don't think we do it. Yeah. Anyway, you guys want to hear some fun facts about Augusta?
Yeah. Do you want to do it now or do you want to do it second segment?
I thought you had a segment you wanted to do second.
Yeah, we could save that. I mean, it's not Masters related.
That's all right. So. We don't have to. For the folks that don't give a shit that the Masters is this weekend.
Also, I looked up an article about what's it like to be a member at Augusta National. And one of the opening lines is, quote, this is from the chairman of Augusta National. He says, quote, we are not a museum. So there goes all of my hopes of just getting a ticket in there to look around.
What does he mean by that?
Yeah, he just says, yeah.
I'm going to treat it as a museum.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I'm going to try and read every single plaque. But
okay, since I teased it, we'll start with the housing fun fact. Okay, so the crow's nest, which is this thing on top of the clubhouse, right?
Snipers?
That's what you would call a sniper's crow's nest.
Yeah, I know.
It is a 30 by 40 foot room, so a pretty small room. Is it like, how big is this room? 20 by 15?
Well, if you think of you said 30 by 40?
30 by 40.
Think of a 30 by 40 shop. You know where when we go pheasant hunting?
Yep.
The garage?
Yep.
I want to say that's 30 by 40.
Okay. So a 30 by 40 foot room atop the clubhouse is available as living quarters for as many as five amateurs during the Masters. So the five amateurs that get invited to the tournament for winning whatever, or exemptions, whatever, however they get in, they just get to live at the Masters for the week.
That's sweet. Because think about it, it's like going to summer camp.
Yeah. And the only other people that ever get to do this are members, and they have to stay in these little cabins that are on Augusta. So like, not only is it sweet that you're an amateur that you get to play at the Masters, you also get to live there for a week.
That's tight. I mean, wake up in the morning. Yeah, boys, I'm going to go get a quick bite to eat at, we'll call it continental breakfast. Yeah. And since you're playing, you get free breakfast. I'm sure you get free breakfast there. And I got to run down and get continental and a coffee real quick.
Like,
you're just in this wide open room with four other dudes.
Yeah.
That's sweet, actually.
I think it's super cool. It's like, it's almost like, obviously, you'd have the timing would have to be perfect and you'd have to know these guys. It's like kind of like a mini bachelor party.
Yeah.
It's like you and five buddies staying in the living in the Masters on Augusta.
I wonder if they have room service.
Maybe.
Probably do.
This is as far as the fun fact went, but I think it's sweet.
And so, Jake, can you Google real quick how many amateurs qualify for the Masters every year? Because I don't know if it's a set amount or if it's different every single year.
It is five.
Okay.
So all five amateurs just get to live there.
That is sick.
That builds a bond too. You and the other four amateurs are friends for life after that.
Oh, 100%. Because like the amount of people who get to experience that crow's nest with four other guys during the most important and like prestigious golf week of the entire year. No, like the sample size is so small to where, yes, the four guys that you are with become your lifelong good. I would assume, unless, you know, I don't know. I feel like they're
complete fucking pricks.
But then like you're probably going to make one, maybe two lifelong best friends out of that entire week.
For sure.
Dude, I wonder, photos of the crow's nest.
I was going to ask what the view was from the crow's nest.
So it's like you can look right down Magnolia Lane from the crow's nest.
That's cool.
That is sick.
And I'm looking at it and it looks like a summer camp room.
Yeah.
There's low wall dividers between each bedroom. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah.
Can you turn the screen a little bit?
Whoa.
So that's what the crow's nest looks like. It's all white painted walls. There's what do they call it? Like a doily, you know, like how a doily looks, like your grandma's doily. That's what's over the top of the beds. So it's like like handmade linens over the top.
You're going to stay at grandma and grandpa's house for the summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it smells old in there. Yeah, I bet.
Minus the water heater buzzing the whole night and the fucking grandfather clock clicking.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
So what do you guys say we start our amateur golf careers and just somehow get into the crow's nest for a week?
I'd be down. I mean,
it's got to be the whole week, right?
They wouldn't rent that out.
No chance.
No, that's a
like even the cabins on it are only for members.
Okay, Jake, can you look up where do the professionals play? Or sorry, where do they stay?
They just stay around Augusta. Like the Airbnbs or
I would think that the tournament itself has like a certain amount of houses locked down for professionals because the Airbnb situation in Augusta like has to be sold out months and months in advance.
Yeah, it truthfully seems like they just get a hotel that's close by. I can't imagine that they spend a lot of time at their hotel anyways.
Most, you know what I mean?
So.
Interesting. I wonder what the nightlife is like in Augusta.
They do the classic picking a hotel when you're taking a vacation move too, where you like just get kind of the most whatever hotel and you just go, we won't be there that often.
We just need a place to sleep.
Yeah, we're just gonna be there to sleep.
That's exactly it.
I did not know that about the crow's nest.
Yeah, me either.
If you think about it, like Sam Bennett last year, who finished top 20. He was like in first, second, or third, whatever, for a lot of the holes.
Yep.
Will Zalatoris, when he finished second, he was not an amateur.
We were wrong on that. We got fact checked fucking hard when we made that claim.
We did.
Yeah.
Can we fact check again?
Yeah. People ripped us for that. In the YouTube comments.
Leave it in, Jake. Don't cut this out.
He was not an amateur.
So Will Zalatoris has no idea what the crow's nest looks like.
Not a clue.
Do you think they can bring chicks up there?
I don't know, dude.
I doubt it.
There's dividers between the beds.
There's in some of the rooms there are, some of the rooms there aren't. All I'm saying is that I bet you the people who are abstaining from sexual activity are all of the amateurs and Tiger this weekend.
They're sleeping with their bag of clubs next to them.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the beds are probably that comfy either. It's probably a twin bed.
Oh, yeah. They're like, it literally is like staying at your grandparents' house.
That's sweet.
Yeah. If your grandparents' house were the most historic, one of the most historic golf courses on the planet.
Well, the question becomes, would you bring chicks back to your grandma and grandpa's house?
No.
No.
Especially if I had roommates at grandma and grandpa's house.
Oh, yeah, God. That's true. That's true. You'd be surprised, though. You'd be surprised. There's some dudes out there who would just, they'd roll the dice.
Next fun fact. Jake, this one seems a little suspicious, so I'm going to need you to YouTube fact check us. It.
Yeah.
Chinese player, I'm going to butcher this name, Guan Tianlang, was the youngest when he played the 2013 Masters at 14 years old.
What? Yeah.
It's true?
And he made the cut.
No way.
And he didn't get paid. He didn't get paid.
Couldn't.
I would assume.
Not a chance. You can't pay a 14-year-old.
So was would he be considered an amateur then?
For sure.
Yeah.
Obviously. Unless he's
also imagine having to be in the crow's nest with like, you know, it's like you're 22.
He's fucking playing in 2013. He has got an Xbox 360 and he's playing Skyrim.
Yeah. And he's like, someone says something and he like tells somebody that they're capping. It's like, what the fuck does that mean? He's just throwing out all this 14-year-old lingo. It's like, what?
Also, him and I are exactly the same age. So that would have been like me playing in, like, we're the exact same age.
You were 14 in 2013?
Yeah.
That's when I graduated.
Yeah. I mean,
baby Jake.
Imagine one of the other AMs is like, so do I need to talk to your parents to see like what time you're supposed to go to bed? Or like, do you have a bedtime? Are you supposed to shut your phone off at 9 p.m. every
like, was he even allowed to stay in the crow's nest? Have to stay with mom and dad?
Yeah. Am I like, what's the hourly babysitting rate here? Am I gonna get paid for watching over you, or how does this all work?
Yeah, also,
do I need to make sure that you eat all of your vegetables when room service comes by?
Sucking down fruit roll-ups left and right.
Yeah. Am I only allowed to like give you one pop, or sometimes you have two?
What's your caffeine limit, and can you have it past 7 o'clock?
Yeah. Do I need to get you a warm glass of milk before bed? Like, do you still take a bottle?
Yeah, everyone else in the crow's nest is drinking beers after their round. And Kwan's up there just chugging a Sprite. You know? Yeah.
So it's legit. How did he get in?
He won. He qualified by winning the 2012 Asia Pacific Amateur Championship in Thailand.
Cool.
That's pretty sick.
So, yeah, good for him.
And he made the cut.
Yeah.
Wow.
Previously, the youngest was an Italian guy named Matteo Manassero, who did it at the 2009 Open Championship.
Okay.
Sorry, to kind of piggyback off of this fun fact, did you know that, are you guys familiar with Akshay Bhatia? He won the Texas Valero Open last week.
Okay.
He's fucking unreal. And he's just kind of, he just got his card like 2 years ago, I think. So he... By winning last week's tournament, he qualified for the Masters this week. And he's the only, I want to say, winner of the drive, chip, and putt challenge for like the 10 to 13-year-olds or whatever to qualify for the Masters.
So he broke the curse.
Correct.
So it's kind of like the, I think we did talk about this last year. No one has ever won the par 3 tournament at the Masters and then also won the Masters.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that curse is yet to be broken, but
Akshay Bhatia
broke the drive, chip, and putt curse.
It's gone. Yeah. It's like the Red Sox curse or the Chicago Cubs curse.
Yep.
It's going to get broken sometime. And it did. So
good for him.
I wonder what are the Vegas odds do after the par 3 competition finishes today. I wonder what the odds do for the winner.
You think it actually drops?
It's gotta, because I mean that data, like that matters when it comes to placing odds on certain players.
I'm gonna start betting on the person that wins the par 3 competition every single year then. Because eventually the curse will be broken.
Yeah. Even if you put like $10 on it.
Yeah.
You know, the winner of the par 3, their odds could drop to plus 4,000. You put $10 to win $10 to win 400.
Yeah.
$100 to win 4,000.
Hell yeah.
So Ford, if you let's say the odds were plus 4,000, if you placed $100 every single year for the next even 39 years and then somebody wins it, you're going to come on $100 ahead.
Sounds worth it to me.
Plus 4,000 odds like aren't ridiculous either. Like golf lines are usually that high.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Next fun fact for you guys. Masters officials have been known to remove tournament announcers who do not follow club decorum. Saying words such as fans or spectators is not allowed. They must be called patrons or gallery. Famous announcers have been kicked off air during the tournament, including Jack Whitaker and Gary McCord. So they've been booted from the Masters broadcast in the middle of the tournament for saying fans or spectators. And that's why I had that weird taste in my mouth about the Masters being too pretentious, is facts like that.
Now, do you think it is pretentious, or do you think they're just trying to preserve the history for as long as possible?
I think it's pretentious. I think that's ridiculous.
I agree.
Like
now it's kind of like the Olympics, right? You get picked to be on like the track and field team for the Olympics, but you also have alternates who are like at the ready to get up and go perform. Like imagine you have like two alternate announcers or commentators who are just like chilling in a hotel room because they couldn't get tickets, just waiting for fucking Bill Nance to slip up and call him fans. Jim Nance.
Yeah, I don't want you to get ripped for that.
If I was the alternate announcer, I would be trying to work the word fan and spectator into every conversation, hoping to just like make it normal.
Just Freudian.
Yeah, kind of brainwash him a little bit into it.
It's exactly what I'd do. I'd be like, man, the fans are looking good today. The spectators are I'm doing all that.
Have you ever been here as a spectator or a fan?
Yeah, guys, a little hot in the room. You think we maybe turn a fan on? And
you're just like, a couple days before, you're just at a bar with the other commentators, and you're like, you're watching an NBA game. You're like, God, you know, they really filled the stadium with spectators for this game. It has nothing to do with golf. It's just like working it in somehow.
Yeah,
you see what kind of fans they got up here on the scene? Like that's. They took like old boat motors and they're starting to use them as like oscillating fans.
Yeah. I went to the doctors the other day. They changed out my spectacles.
You book a room with them. You guys, all the announcers in this scenario are staying in the same hotel room.
Yeah.
And Nance is just asleep in his bed and you're in as your fans, spectators, fans, 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 spectators, spectators, fans.
Hey, do you usually sleep with a fan on? You think you could turn the fan on before it just helps me sleep. It's kind of like white noise.
Mm-hmm.
I had a super fan time tonight. I mean, fun time.
Jim, you must have a lot of fans, don't you?
So yeah, that'd be me.
They got it. I mean, they have to have alternates on deck ready to go.
Yeah, they
you
have
think
to.
Anyway.
Unless Nance has never been kicked off, so because he's a consummate professional, and he never will. He won't slip up.
Yeah.
So maybe he just solos it.
He's brainwashed himself into Masters commentary.
So I wonder what other words are banned besides fans or spectators. I mean, I would assume fuck is off the board.
Holy fuck, there's a lot of fans here.
Get out of here.
Imagine if you just had like, you had this secret, as a commentator, you had this secret vendetta against the Masters and you were just keeping it all to yourself before you got on air. And then you're just like, fuck this tournament. Fuck these fans. These spectators are a bunch of bullshit. Yeah. And you made it worth it.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to get kicked off, make it worthwhile.
Go out with a blaze.
Because again, you know, the virality on social media of what that clip's going to do is going to be insane.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Jim Nance swearing, let alone cussing out the Masters.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Dude, the Twins had an announcer who would do that. He'd hot mic all the time. And when he would realize after he dropped his first F-bomb that he would just let four of them fly afterwards. He'd be like,
fuck, I said fuck.
Yeah. He would literally, he'd go, fuck, we got to do that again. Oh, fuck, I said fuck. And just do that over. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. He doesn't have a job anymore.
Clearly. Was that Bert?
Yeah. It was Bert. Yeah.
Bert with Bly 11, big mouth Bert.
Yeah. But that's exactly, I mean, you got to make it worth it. You gotta make every F-bomb worth it. Yes. If you're on the way out, I wouldn't want to get kicked out because I said fan. I'd have to be
You accidentally slip and you hear yourself say spectator.
Yeah.
Then you just start letting them rip before they pull you out of the broadcast booth.
Yeah, and once you get to like spectator. A lot of
spectators here today. Ah, fuck, I said it. All right, anyway, Cam Smith's playing pretty fucking good right now. I mean, he's my favorite to win the whole fucking thing. I don't know.
Yeah, or just try and spin zone it into like, you know, like spectator into spectacle or something when you realize halfway through that.
Spectacle.
Yeah. I wonder, so if they do get kicked off, are they ever allowed back?
I don't know. Doesn't say.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. It says that they were kicked off air. I don't know who Jack Whitaker or Gary McCord are, but apparently they are famous announcers.
Huh. And I wonder, like, who has to have the conversation or if it's just an email that is sent out.
Like, but if they're kicked off air, like, live, it's got to be, like, commercial break. Like, hey, you got to go. You said spectators.
Yeah, like an executive producer or somebody like that has to come into the booth and,
Final fun fact.
He's banned completely.
Wow.
And okay, I get this. He was banned from covering the Masters tournament for CBS after tournament chairman Clifford Roberts took offense when he said, "Here comes the mob," in reference to the arrival of the gallery at the 18th hole. So in 66, it was literally the last hole playoff.
I mean, that's not that bad. That's like a turn of phrase.
Yeah, you made it 99% of the way. Yeah. You made it 71 holes. 71 and a half.
Dude,
holes.
Get this. And then 6 years later, he was invited to just attend the 1972 Masters. And then the broadcaster who replaced him, Henry Longhurst, fell ill. He was asked to take over as the telecaster and continued to telecast in the following years.
He was ready, dude.
Yeah, he was.
Good for him. Redemption story.
They should make a movie on that.
They should.
They shouldn't, but they should.
That'd be a boring ass movie.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Who was the other guy, Tyler? I want to see what he said.
Paul McCord. Or Bill McCord.
Gary
McCord.
So that was Jack Whitaker you were just talking about?
Yeah, that was Jack Whitaker.
Yeah, Gary McCord was the other one.
Don't we have a patron's name?
Tug McCord.
Okay, during the network's Masters coverage in 1994, Gary McCord remarked that the 17th green was so fast it was bikini waxed. And that, quote, body bags were located behind the green for players who missed their approach shots, which that is a little fucked up.
But the bikini wax thing in relation to the green and how fast it was is wild.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that, dude. That's a great phrase.
Do you think
greens are bikini wax today? Yeah,
that is a good one.
Smooth. Or if like a green just got aerated, like, ooh, rough bikini wax, real bumpy.
Yeah, what do they call it? A Brazilian...
Brazilian wax? I don't know.
Yeah, they just call it a Brazilian?
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
A waxed vagina is what we're... Yeah.
So he gets kicked off for that. I mean, the locker room talk for the members at Augusta, like, you can't tell me that they're not saying shit like that.
But they're not on live TV broadcast.
No, I get that. But like, it's got to, you can't just let it slip in one area and not. And I get it's a live broadcast to millions and millions of people. But okay, my other question is, do you think there's got to be one member at Augusta that everyone just hates because he's going to rat on people for saying shit that they shouldn't or doing stuff that they shouldn't? That's the guy that needs to be booted.
Dude, I saw that on this article that if you are like kicked out of Augusta from being a member, that it's not that they like send you a letter and they're like, hey, you're not allowed to be here anymore, or they don't even sit down with you. Just the next year, they just don't bill you. And then that's how you find out. So like, let's say June 1st is when the yearly dues come in. Yeah. June 1st rolls around.
You're waiting for the Discover card notification to come across your phone and you're like, honey, it's not coming.
Yeah, you're like,
so Tug McCord down the road said his already came. I haven't got one yet.
So Augusta is just a petty breakup. They just ghost you.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like it.
Yeah.
But what happens if you show up?
They're going to be like, oh, well, I don't know. I guess I bet nobody has probably attempted it. But yeah, I bet you they'd probably turn you away.
Interesting.
Final fun fact. The Masters tournament was not played during the years 1943, 44, and 45 because of World War II. To help with the war effort, turkeys and cattle were raised on the Augusta National grounds. So for 3 years, they turned Augusta National to a farm.
That's actually killer.
And now they won't let fucking squirrels live there.
Imagine having that job, taking out the squirrels.
That would be a sick job. Like a couple episodes job. We talked about, like that guy with the rifle who protects the birds from the toxic lake in like Nevada or whatever. Yeah. That's the exact same job. Just have a pellet gun.
Yeah, imagine you like accidentally make like an errant shot, and I mean you got a bleeder, we'll call it, and they start running onto the fairways and just like tracking blood. It's like you gotta finish that thing off.
Yeah, like you know when a hydraulic line breaks on the mowers.
Yeah,
you just got a red streak right down the fairway.
Yeah, God. They had that issue last year, didn't they? Where a hydraulic line was leaking, That could have been it.
The tree tipped over.
The tree tipped
over. And
then
they had it out of there and good to go in like 20 minutes.
Again, a piece of wood from that tree.
Yeah. Probably planted in 1904 or some shit too.
Yeah. Imagine like the decor you could make out of that wood.
I would just make tees.
Those tees would not sell for $1 a bag.
No, they
would. They would sell for $100 a bag. Mm-hmm. And no, I would never use them.
No, never.
Huh.
That would be kind of cool, actually. Get a lathe, make some tees out of the Augusta wood.
Imagine having a steak from an Augusta heifer.
Yeah.
In the 40s. That shit would.
Yeah.
Forget Wagyu. I want some Augusta beef.
Give me an Augusta sirloin. Shit would go for. Give me medium rare, too.
Well, like, why turkeys, dude?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean.
Because two very different, like, farm animals to take care of.
I mean,
of
they race. Can coexist, I suppose.
They can, yeah.
But it's like, it's just so random. They're like, all right, hey, the boys need some help. So we're going to raise some cattle here now.
Yeah, like, did they just put up a temporary, like cattle barn?
I mean, the fence is already up.
Yeah. That's true.
What about when they go and calf, like, in early spring?
Giving birth on Amen Corner.
That's insane.
Yeah. They're just so all these famous bridges, like a lot of them. There's one bridge I know for sure that was put up in the 30s because somebody got an albatross on a hole. So they put the bridge up to dedicate the albatross in like 1937 or something, the first ever Masters.
Okay.
And so that same exact bridge that just also was glittered with cow shit.
Or turkey shit.
Yeah.
Okay, Jake. The amateur or the member at Augusta that plays in the tournament every single year.
Yep.
Can you look to see if he's playing again this year?
Yeah, I will.
Also, it'd be hilarious now that they do everything as I've said, they do everything at Augusta for a reason and usually a historical reason. They're pumping in bird noise already anyway.
Is that confirmed?
No, but it's confirmed in my head. To honor it being a turkey farm for 3 years, they should be pumping in gobbles.
Or moose.
You got the fucking chirps going on.
Is there any history like at the course of like of that time with the cows and turkeys?
All I know is that they use it as a turkey and cattle farm during World War II.
You think like maybe they would have like a spur, like a couple spurs from a turkey or something like displayed somewhere.
I'm sure they have a plaque up there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like pictures, World War II.
Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. It doesn't look like he's playing, by the way.
Okay. I wonder who's now top dog.
Why isn't he playing?
Well, I don't know. He's not the one playing. His name is the Jeff Knox is the guy who you're thinking of.
Yeah,
the guy who formerly played.
It's the uneven number.
Yep, exactly. He's been replaced by a guy named Michael McDermott, who's a 60-year-old golfer.
Damn.
All right, put some money on Mikey
to make the cut.
Yeah.
No. I don't think they're allowed to make the cut. They're just allowed to play the first 2 days to fill the field. I think that's correct. I think when we talked about Jeff Knox, that was the
Still sick for Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the master shit I got for you guys.
That's cool. Yeah. We've talked bird noise before. Also, one other thing I want to mention, if anyone is going to the Masters, currently listening.
What's your Venmo? Get us some shit.
Yep. Because I remember last year we had, I think it was like someone who worked at grounds crew had said that they were going to, like, if we wanted anything, they would get it and send it to us. This was outside of the Masters tournament. I said, I'll pay you up.
Whatever you want.
$200 to $300. Give me a quarter zip, a hat, a flag, and I think it was one other thing.
Yeah, but that's $1,000 bill for five things.
No, it's not, the merch is not crazy expensive. Mm. It's just being able to get in there.
Yeah.
Never heard back.
Damn.
So
dude.
It's pretty disappointing. I think you got ghosted. What you wanted.
Oh yeah.
I think
I just said a hat too.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fucking loser.
You got ghosted, like you said, bikini wax, dude.
Yep.
Okay. Big week ahead of us.
Yeah.
Par 3 competition today.
Yep.
If you're placing bets later today, don't place it on the guy who wins a par 3.
Or do for 40 years. He'll win eventually.
Do you think a live guy wins the Masters this year?
Nope. I think Victor Hovland wins. He's due. Doesn't have a major yet.
Okay.
Playing good golf.
I think Rory wins.
I don't think Rory ever wins a major again.
I think he does.
I think he wins a major again. I just don't think he wins a Masters. There's a lot of pressure on him right now.
He's never won the Masters, correct?
Correct. Mm. That's the last one he needs for the Grand Slam.
And that's why I think he does. I would like to see Rory.
I wouldn't hate it either.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of like when you're at the range or at the sim, like on the sim, you're like, all right, one more. That's a shit shot. Okay, one more.
Yeah.
Shit shot. Okay, one more. I feel like that's the common trend with having to win that last major to complete the Grand Slam.
Yeah, he can't retire until he does it.
Correct. Yeah. And he's not getting any younger.
He's number two odds right now.
Behind?
Really?
Behind Scheffler.
That checks out.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, Scheffler's plus 325. But
Scotty's got the beard this week too again.
Yeah, he does. You know, it's like, who was it? The NBA player who, it was Carmelo Anthony. He'd wear a hoodie before games that he'd go in on. Yeah, hoodie mellow.
Yep.
That's Beard Scheffler.
Yeah, he's unstoppable.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. I would say the last couple of weeks, I've really been into just history of golf. And last week we talked about why is golf 18 holes? Mm-hmm. What is the origin of mulligan, bogey, all that kind of stuff?
We've gone full educational.
Kind of. It's kind of fun though, because it's like
we spend so much time doing this sport. It's cool to know about the history of us doing it. Basically.
Correct. And at the same time, is it not the oldest sport in the world?
No, wrestling.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of sweet.
Yep.
And that's why wrestling should be in the Olympics.
Yep. They tried to take it out. It was the original Olympic sport.
Okay.
That and running.
So as I'm running this through my head, what else would I like to know about? First it was, okay, why, like, when did the number system on each club get implemented? Why did they use that? And then, okay, let's just take it a step back. Have golf clubs always been named the way that they are now? So like your 7-iron, your pitching wedge, your gap wedge, whatever. It's pre-modern. Okay, so today's set of clubs would be called a modern set of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pre-modern, completely different.
So like clubs had different names?
Clubs had different names. Pre-1930s, 1940s, when the modern clubs were starting to be created. So we're going to do this again, kind of like we did last week. I'm going to give you a pre-modern or historical name of a club. And I want you guys to see if you can pick what club it is in today's modern bag.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll start with this one. And again, I think you guys will go, I think you'll go 30 to 40%. Correct.
So that'll be better than last week. Because I think
hopefully better than last week.
Yeah. Last week's bad.
Okay. So the Play Club is now modernly known as what club?
Okay, so I'm thinking like you make big plays with this club.
So Play Club, also known as the Grass Club, or I'm not going to give you the last one.
Okay, the Grass Club, I think, is I think that's the...
I'm going to go with just a wedge. It's a pitching wedge.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be a wedge. And the reason I think why is because like play club. Or actually, I'm going to go iron because...
We got to be specific now. Be specific with iron if you're going to go iron.
Okay, I'm going to go like a 7-iron or something like that.
Okay, Tyler, you were on the right track with making big plays. Yeah. So the play club, also known as the grass club or the long club, is the historical equivalent of the driver. So golfers use the play club to play away from the teeing ground.
Gotcha.
So the play club used to be known as, is now known as the driver.
My brain went to play club, like being an iron because you would hit it if you were in play.
Sure.
I just thought you're shaping shots more with like wedges and irons that you're making a play with that. Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
That makes sense.
Okay. So the big stick, also known as the play club.
Big stick's way cooler than play club.
And I think I'm going to, just after we're done with this, I'm going to go back to using all of the old names for
yeah,
the clubs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the play clubs cool. out.
Yeah.
Also, just to like kind of quiz your buddies, like, hey, I think for this next shot, I'm going to hit a brassy.
Okay.
It's our next one.
A brassy is a putter.
It's a putter.
You're both wrong again.
Oh. Fuck.
Okay. The closest equivalent in use to modern 2 or 3 woods. It had the same
made of brass.
It had that name. It had that name because of a brass plate on the sole.
Mm-hmm. See, I was thinking brass, like, but then like, cause you know, those putters, but I guess those are beryllium copper and not brass.
Yeah. Cool, I don't know. Putters, I don't know shit about metals. I just assumed that that would be the one made of brass.
Yeah. I only know that because shout out Stacked Golf. They're always pulling up beryllium copper putters at a garage
sale. Oh, nice. Yeah. I love that page. Yeah. Okay, boys. Looks like a good time to hit a spoon.
That's a wedge.
Dude, here's my brain. Spoon is a club that doesn't exist anymore. Because I think I've read an article on this.
It's not a popular club.
Yeah. So
okay, so then a hybrid?
No, so maybe I'm looking at this different, but I think I remember reading an article about a golf club that was convex on the face of the club.
Concave?
That's what I mean. Yes, concave.
So what club are we looking at?
So it would be like a high iron. It would be like a 4-iron or something like that.
You're close, Jig. It's not a 4-iron. A spoon used to be called a 5-wood. Or a 5-wood used to be called a spoon. So when spoons first appeared, going back to the 18th century, perhaps earlier than that, some had concave faces shaped like a spoon, in other words, giving them their name.
Interesting.
So spoon.
I think Jake should get a half point for that.
Yeah, the concave, you were on the right track.
Yeah, because I mean that club doesn't exist anymore. I mean, I'm sure they evolved into a 5-wood or whatever. But yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So the 5-wood was historically named the spoon. Okay. I'll give you guys this one. We're gonna move away from our woods, our driver and woods. We'll go into this is iron through putter. Okay.
Okay. Narrow the field.
Yes. We'll just go with cleek.
Cleek?
Cleek.
Okay. This is a name of a LIV team. They're the Cleeks or some shit, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know that.
That's a team of people, Tyler. That's a click. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I have no idea. A clique? It sounds like, I mean, like.
Sounds like you're going to gleek on. So you ever gleeked? Kids used to do that in fucking like middle school. Like some kids could gleek 3 feet.
there's a clique's GC.
Okay. Okay. So pre-modern club name. The clique. You want me to give it to you?
Yeah.
I'm just going to guess. You've been going from top down, so I'm going to say that it is a 4-iron.
You're close again.
Driving iron.
Driving iron is correct.
Hell yeah.
Yep. With blade-like iron heads, it is most closely associated to modern 1-irons and 2-irons. Could also be used for putting, but putting was a different name.
Okay. In
the pre-modern era.
Okay, so
clique was a driving iron.
Change the order, because now we know you're just going from biggest to smallest.
Okay. Yep. No, I will. Yeah, yeah. I will. okay, let's give you this one. This one should be an easy one.
Okay.
What club was formerly known as the pitching niblick?
Pitching wedge. Pitching niblick. Niblicks is another LIV team too.
It is, yeah.
Huh.
Jack, are you Googling what a pitching niblick is?
No, I'm not.
That's cheating.
I'm having some computer issues right now. So, I mean, we're fine to keep going. But
yeah, I'm going to say pitching wedge.
I threw you off with you should get this one because it's the pitching niblick is not a pitching wedge.
What is it?
The pitching niblick is comparable to an 8-iron.
That's so dumb.
Also known as a lofting iron.
Okay. Just rattle some off here.
Okay. Spade mashy.
That sounds like something like a Gen Zer would say. I'm going to spade mashy this.
I'm going to spade mashy this fucking ball from fucking 200 out. There you go. 200 out. What are we hitting 200 out?
Spade mashies.
We're hitting spade mashies because that's equivalent to a 6-iron.
Mm.
Mashy niblick?
7.
7-iron.
Right in between the pitching niblick and the spade mashy would be the spade niblick. Whatever you just said.
No, mashy niblick.
Mashy
niblick. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So how about just a niblick in general, Tyler?
5-iron.
9-iron. Where are they getting these names?
I don't know. The people back in the day were weird as hell.
Yeah, spade and mashy and niblick. And how about, okay, let's go with the club formerly known as Jigger.
That's a putter.
No, I'm gonna go it's a wedge. I'm gonna go it's like, but like a high wedge. It'd be like, I don't know, like a 60 maybe.
They changed the name of this one for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Jake, you were right until you said a high lofted wedge.
There's a low wedge.
Okay, so you can think of a jigger as an old name for what today we call a chipper. The jigger typically had a short shaft but not a lot of loft, and golfers used it for chip shots and other shots around the green that did not require high loft.
Bump and runs. It's the bump and run club.
So the bump and run has been around for decades.
Hell yeah.
Which, like, people want to do the flop. Like, obviously there's no flopper club yet. So the bump and run,
they have a 69 degree wedge.
Like, from back in the day?
No, that like now. Like now. Oh. I think there's a company that just sells 69 degree wedges.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's kind of a meme, isn't it? Yeah. So yeah, the bump and run is way more tried and true than the flop is. Ryan, keep going.
Okay. We'll go. I'll give you guys, this is an absolute layup for the last one. The putting clique.
Yeah. Mm. I think I'm going to actually.
Cliques is another LIV name.
Yeah, we already did that one.
Yeah. So it's just cliques and niblicks. Yeah. I mean, that one.
Yeah. I think that's a 69 degree.
That's the only one with a normal natural, like, evolution to its current name. The rest of them was like, how did niblick become 9-iron?
Yep.
Yeah.
The putting clique used for, you guessed it, putting.
Uh-huh.
So my question,
It had a narrow, flat, or very low lofted club face shaped more like a long iron blade than like the modern putter faces. Mm-hmm. So it looked more like, let's say, a 1-iron, which is again what they said was formerly sometimes used for putting. Instead of like, you know, today's blade and mallet putters that you see on the course. So putting clique.
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 Next week, we'll have to go into the origin of mashy, clique, niblick, and all the above.
You gotta love the mashy, clique, niblicks.
So another little history lesson for you guys today. It is cool to learn and understand about the evolution of just everything in golf.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the golf cart or the clubs or like the shoes, like what type of shoes did old time golfers used to wear? Did Crocs. They have special shoes for it? They probably wore dress shoes, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it was sure like, the term caddy, if you guys weren't familiar, I can't remember in what
language. Never heard of it.
Ryan's been reading.
I can't remember in what language of origin, but caddy meant young boy or like the youngest of the family.
Hmm.
So caddies used to be like young kids. They would kind of send them out for the shit job.
We got to end the pod. My mic just fell off.
That's fine.
Just hold it.
Yeah, I caught it.
Nice catch.
So yeah, because the game is so old, it's just kind of cool to learn about the history and understand how the evolution has played out over the last hundreds of years.
Every other sport we like is relatively modern,
which is why I always ask the question, like in the next, even like the next 20 years, like where will golf, how will it evolve in that time frame?
Yeah. Be very interesting.
Sorry.
Did you fix it, Tyler?
No. All right. Just fucking holding my broken mic.
All right. Hey,
enjoy the Masters, folks.
Yeah. Par 3 competition today. First round starts tomorrow.
Tyler's got Victor.
I'm going to be dialed.
I got Rory.
Ryan has the field.
I think I talked about these a couple weeks ago, but I threw in a bunch of different bets just to
increase your odds.
Yeah, I would spread out my portfolio a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck.
Just give us one, Ryan.
Well, I can't give you one unless
just tell us who you think's going to win.
Yeah, that's, I don't actually have money on Rory.
I think I don't know.
Beard Scotty.
I think Xander Schauffele is going to win the 2024 Masters. Love he it. Is one of my try. Bets. I want to say
this is the first guy he thought of.
No, I have $10 on him. Mm. I got $10 to win like $330.
Nice.
So I tried to make it. I know you're struggling right now.
Yeah, I got it. It's back on.
I tried to get a group of buddies together to make it down to the sports book just south of us so we could watch the Masters on Saturdays. And I'll tell you what, if this is a perfect explanation of how it's going to be going forward, trying to plan shit with my friends now that we have kids, I pretty much, after the whole thing was, the whole conversation was said and done, I said, okay, well, I'll probably see you guys in 5 to 10 years. It's the biggest golf week of the year.
Yeah.
We can't take 4 to 5 hours to go an hour south, hang out in a sports book at a casino where we could hop on the felt, play some BJ.
Don't.
What?
You didn't need to acronym that.
Play some blackjack. And have
it's already shortened 21.
Me and my buddy's gonna go play some BJ. What do you think people are gonna think?
People refer to it as BJ all the time.
No, they don't. No,
they do. You guys just don't play BJ. So, yeah. If my buddies, I think one of my buddies listening, we'll see in 5 to 10 years. Maybe we'll shoot for 2030. Sportsbook day for the Masters.
Ryan, the problem is that you just didn't plan it out 5 months in advance. And correct. Anybody,
I planned it out a week in advance, and that wasn't enough.
Anybody who's getting old knows that plans need to be made at least 6 months in advance, and then you forget about it the week of. So yep,
we cancel.
We
have a fishing trip lined up for December 28th of 2024. Like that was set up last week.
Nice.
Hey, you got that done.
I should probably check the calendar, make sure I don't have anything to say.
Get next year's Masters on the calendar now.
Okay. All right.
All right,
guys.
Love you.
Love you.
They piped that the wrong f***ing way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.